Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Heaps of rain in the forecast too. It's about to be crazy.
Oh, really? So yeah. everything there, I take it, is rain fed, right? You have a lot of you for the people listening. You know, you were here in the Southeast for a little while. You did the kayak races, the Green Race, the Russell Fork race, and did you do the Great Falls race?
No, I didn't do the Great Falls race.
You did those two, right?
Russell and Green.
Yeah, so you got to see what dam control. Do you have a lot of dam control rivers out there? Like,
we have quite a lot of variation, I'd say. Like my home river, the Kaituna, is awesome; just flows all year, whatever the flow. And then we do have a couple dam release rivers. One of them in particular, the Waidoa, reminds me a lot of the Green.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you were used to some tight creeking, huh?
Semi. I did turn up to the Green and I was like, is the water on?
Yeah. And you were paddling a longboat, which I remember talking to you, and you was like, I don't paddle longboats. So
nah, I was freaking out a little bit.
You'd paddled slalom boats before, right? But you'd never paddled an actual longboat race boat. Well, that's pretty good, man. Well, yeah, we'll get right into it. One of the things I wanted to bring you on is, well, first off, you guys at Waka got anything new cooking up down there that you want to talk about? I've been seeing your social media, and you've been laying up something.
Yeah, we've probably been teasing you guys a bit. So I guess the last 2 years, Dad has been going pretty hard with just prototyping new rocker profiles and creek boats and playing around with a few different other things, just trying to find what the next best thing is. And then what's been pretty exciting is we've been working on like a river running playboat, just kind of find that balance between like play and being able to take that boat wherever you want to go.
Like river runner playboat, like a half slice, like, or a...
Like it should be a full slice. We're still playing around whether like how big we want to go with it, because obviously you go smaller, it's more playful, it's more of a playboat, but then it's pretty, like, sometimes it's getting scary to take it down like bigger rivers and stuff. So it's just finding that balance. It'd be like perfect Zam boat. That's how we're kind of
okay
thinking about it.
Is it gonna have like a lot of bow volume?
So we got a couple prototypes. Yeah, it should have, for a playboat, we'll have a lot of bow volume. And we're just thinking about whether we want to have it that we can flat water bow stall it or have a bit more volume so that like maybe a bit of current you can get on the nose, but not completely in the flat water.
Yeah, but still kind of take care of you a little bit down the rapids, I take it, right?
Yeah. It would just like open up so many, like so much potential for like those waves we have to paddle a river to get to. There's quite a bit of that, like especially at home on the Kaituna, it's really high at the moment. Like there's some sick play spots, but then there's some like waterfalls and stuff that like, oh, play boats, like it's a bit spicy. So
I've seen some videos of that river. It looks like spicy in some spots.
Yeah, so like you want something that's going to look after you a bit more. We sent a boat over to Benny Ma. So he's about to test that, I think, for, I forget the name of the waves up there, but whenever the season comes in, he's back from the Zam.
What's the name of the boat? You got a name for it yet?
Don't have a name for it yet. Well, we are thinking about naming it in honor of Robert Eggleston.
Yes, okay.
One of our team paddlers.
Knuckles? What was his?
Yeah, Bobby. Some people called him Bobby Knuckles.
Yeah.
My parents went and visited his family last month. Mm. So they were talking about different boat names.
Yeah.
They liked the sound of that. So something like that.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's awesome. I really look forward to that. You know, you guys have been killing it down there with the Waka brand. You know, I guess after Blistic, is Blistic still an operation?
Not so much these days. Yeah,
with the Waka tuna, I guess that became the Blistic tuna, then it became the Waka tuna. And ever since then, every design has just been awesome. You guys, I kind of credit, you know, Waka with that good planing bow rocker. Nobody was doing it. And then I started seeing some boats that really skipped out and nice flat planing bow rocker in the bow. And then once Waka started hitting the market, now we got them everywhere.
Yeah. No, Dad had been working on that for a long time, like that rocker profile that you're talking about.
Yep.
Like I remember as a young kid, just like Dad being in the garage at the house, just working on composite like boats. He'd paddle them on the Kaituna for a season and make something else. I think it was just like a progression through the years.
Yeah.
Dad was designing for Preon back in the day.
Yep.
Then he set up Blistic with Charles Sage, who was still the owner of Blistic. And then he sold it to Charles and then came back 10 years later for the Turner, made that. And then because it was in New Zealand and it was hard to ship the boats off, there was just an opportunity arose to make like a factory in Europe and make another brand. So
yeah, they were molded in Czech Republic for a while. Am I correct?
Yeah. So pretty much Dad and Sam Sutton got together, threw a bit of money towards the mold, bought the mold, shipped it off to Europe. And the old Necky factory actually was making the boats for a while.
Where's that located at, the Necky factory?
In Czech.
I did not know. Okay.
Yeah. So that's still up and running. But then, we're having a few problems back in the days, and then we moved over to Italy. And that factory is awesome, and the boats have been amazing.
Yeah, not the same place that Zet is made in Czech Republic. They're in Czech Republic, right?
Not the same place.
Yeah. You're thinking, how many factories are in the Czech Republic?
Yeah, but that was pretty early days. We've been in Italy for a long time.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. And definitely your quality, from what I've seen, I work in the industry a lot, and I've seen the quality on Waka's just get 10 times better. It's so much better now.
Yeah. Now, the new plastic that we've had for coming up 3 years now has been, like, amazing. Like, I've been trying to give the boats a thrashing in Norway and stuff, and it held up really well. It's always about that balance of having a boat that, like, soft and stiff. You know, if it's if it gets to that level of stiffness where it takes a hit and it just cracks, then it's just done. You can't really do much with it once it's cracked.
Yeah.
And I think we've got a really good balance at the moment.
Are you designing now, or is your dad, is he still designing?
No, I'm just Dad's little apprentice, young Jedi.
There you go. Well, now that I got you on here, can you break down for everybody, you know, the plastic grab handles? Everybody seems to ask me about those plastic grab loops on Waka boats. Is there, and you know, I tried to pin your dad down and get him to give me a good answer on record. Can I get you on record to say why is Waka staying with plastic grab loops instead of going to aluminum?
No, I'm really stoked that you brought it up because I see the stuff all the time online, and I pretty much, if like, there's definitely people worried about plastic grab handles, but like a grab handle is only as strong as what it's attached to.
Okay.
So if you're worried about plastic, like the boat's plastic, like it's this weak point. Like if you think plastic's going to be the weak point, the boat's like, it's plastic as well. But also they've got a rating up to 890 kilos. Okay. So we tested them in the factory, 890 kilos. They didn't break at that. We couldn't put any more force on them.
What do they do? So do they stretch before they break, or is it a quick snap?
No, like we haven't snapped them. That's their rating up to 890 kilos.
Yeah, so they just keep going.
Yeah, they just keep going. Yeah.
Okay.
Like for sure, like the background of where we come from, we're wanting like the safest boats in the game. And for us, we come to the conclusion that plastic grab handles are the way to go.
Yeah.
It's all about where it breaks, pulls, like the, it only needs to be as, the grab handles only need to be as strong as like what's going to pull them out of the boat.
Yeah.
Like the breaking point is going to be when the grab handle pulls out of the boat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I take it Waka staying with plastic grab handles in 2023.
Yeah.
You've heard it here then. And you know, it's like one of those things, if it works, you know, it's one of these things that on paper, it kind of looks like it's not as good, but then there hasn't been, I guess you guys have done more testing and data on it than, that's good that you gave a number and said that you guys did testing on it, because it's one of these things, will it work? Yeah. Okay. Well then stay with it. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And that's just like what we've found, like the rating that we've come up with. We haven't actually broken them. So they'll be able to hold a lot more, I would say.
Yeah. Okay, man. Well, that's good.
Yeah. The main thing is, it's just like when the grab handle pulls out of a boat. Because you could have like an unbreakable grab handle. It doesn't mean it's still going to rip out of the boat at some point.
It's going to pull the insert out. Yeah. I had done some testing, and usually it just pulls the whole insert out of the kayak. Like it just rips it, and then you got a big hole that big in your kayak.
Yeah. And that's just like, at some point that's going to happen. So it's like the strength of the inserts that is probably more important.
Yeah. Well, good deal, man. And something else, you know, when you was on the Russell Fork there, I actually used a paddle that you had. I don't know. We kind of talked briefly there, and you had this new paddle. Give us an idea. Is Waka doing paddles now?
Yeah, man, we've been working on that for a good while now. Dad made paddles way back in the day.
Okay.
Like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he's vowed never to make them again. I don't think he liked working the composites. But yeah, so we'd been trialing paddles probably for the last 2 years with Waka. And
it's under the Waka brand, right? These are Waka.
Under the Waka brand.
Okay.
Waka paddles. Yeah. I might be able to send you a photo. But yeah, they're finished now. We just got a quote from the factory that's going to be making them for us, and they should be on the market pretty soon.
Are those going to be made in New Zealand, or are you getting those in
Europe? No, they're going to be made in Europe.
Okay. Carbon, all carbon,
shipped over to the States and stuff too. All carbon. Yep. Like I think they're going to weigh around, well, they're going to weigh around 1,000 grams.
That's bent.
Straight shafts for now, and then once it like we get some traction and stuff, we'll think about making it into crank paddles.
Oh, nice.
But loving the paddle so far. Like over the last 2 years, I've had to switch back because it's been prototype paddles. Like Dad wants to keep some paddles in New Zealand or something. I've been switching between lots of paddles. And like, I just can't go back to my old paddles now. Like, it's just not enjoyable.
Yeah. The one I think I seen you with here in USA, you had a prototype, right? Yeah, that was a prototype. It looked good. It looked strong. It had a lot of power. I just used it briefly right there at the Russell Fork, and it looked really good. I mean, I liked the paddle. I thought it did well. Good job, man. What's it, do you have a name for them? Do you have a name for the blade?
Well, we've been throwing around some names. We're gonna have two different weights, I think. So one of the boat paddles was gonna be called the Walker Feather or something. Dad was keen to call it that.
Say that again. The
Walker Feather.
Feather. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So something like that. Still thinking about a name for the heavier one, or the creaking.
Is it going to have Dynel around the edging?
Yeah, so that we just kind of finished the final kind of layout of what the production paddle will be. It's going to be a Dynel edge. And some dude took it to the Mati Deutsch. He took it to the Zan. I think a couple of people tried it there. And it seems to be holding up really well. A good layout. So, yeah.
Oh, good stuff, man.
It's funny as well because he got the paddles and he can't go back to his old paddles as well now. Like, it seems to be a common trend.
What did you use before that?
I was using Galas for a long time. I was big with Gala. Yeah.
The Mantic, the Galasport Mantic, I take it?
Yeah,
it's probably the Mantic. That seems to be what everyone uses. I know Anio uses them, right?
Yeah, the Mantic. Yeah, I'm just more familiar with the slalom names. At some point, I switched from the slalom paddles to the creaking paddles.
They're so good. Those are really good paddles.
Yeah, I like them. And then I used the Littman as well, Littman paddles. Yeah. But yeah, after using these Walkers, there's just so much more like pressure on the blade. I just love it. It's really cool.
Good deal, man. Speaking of good products, you know, one of my favorite kayaks that Walker's ever done is the Stees. I love the Stees. I love me some Stees. I take it you paddle that boat a lot. I see a lot of videos in you and the Stees. And what is the, you know, I know you guys tried a pod at one time. Are you doing no more pods?
No, we still do pods. Can I just plug my laptop in for a second? Sorry.
Okay.
It's going to go flat. Sorry. Sorry, man. My laptop wasn't charging for some reason.
Yeah. What time is it there, by the way?
Like 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. on probably Friday.
Yeah, we're ahead, man.
Yeah, it's 3 p.m.
in the future.
Thursday. Yeah, I'm talking to a man from the future. Look at this. Well, what I was asking you was the Stees. I had paddled the Stees. I had done the Stees with a pod, without a pod. I kind of went back and forth between them. Me personally, Dagger tried some volume.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Adjustments. Why at Waka did you guys decide to try to add volume? I mean, is it something that's been good for you? I don't see many people using that pod.
The volume is the pod.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think like the idea of the Stees, it was made quite a couple years back now, but the idea was to have something that you could, like one boat that would rule them all, you know, like you could go play on a river and do your whippies, run some stouts, and then if it got like really stout, you could chuck a extra piece of volume on and go run whatever you want in it. One thing we didn't foresee though was that we started playing around with putting extra volume in the tail, like what the Puffy Stees is now. Mm-hmm. And that just really took off. And now that's what I paddle pretty much all the time because it's just the perfect balance. You know, you see if I went to Norway or something, I'm just paddling a Puffy Stees the entire time. On the right eddy line, I can get it vertical, but I'm paddling the biggest whitewater I personally can, and that. I just think it's the perfect balance.
Yeah,
and the only time I've really seen the pod happen, the only time I've seen the pod paddled this year was at the race in Vico, Extreme Sport Vico, World Champs.
Okay.
But it hasn't been that popular in recent years. People just jump in the puffy stees.
Yeah, you know, and that was my next question. So, you know, when did you decide to go that route of making the puffy stees? And, like, what would you recommend the puffy stees over the normal stees? What would be your, if somebody new was like, hey, I want to get a puffy stees or I want to get a stees, what would you recommend to them? How would you answer that question?
Well, I think the stees, it's just, they're the same boat. The stees is just a little bit smaller in the tail, a little bit more playful. It's easier to get vertical. It's still a super rhythm worthy half slice. You know, it's not like gonna back loop you over in every little thing. I'd happily take it down most rivers. But then the puffy stees is just like that level up in terms of running stouts and stuff. It's a proper creek boat. I think the best way to describe it is as a proper creek boat with the ability to, like, those little movements of your hips and, like, slicing the tail a little bit. And it just opens up this new way of paddling compared to a creek boat where you can make little adjustments just by sinking the tail a little bit, but without the consequence of the boat just, like, going up everywhere vertical and still running nice and smooth.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you guys wanted. You wanted a creek boat that you could kind of pivot turn and do those pivot turns and really, but still run the stouter stuff. Am I correct with the stees?
Yeah.
It's not a playboat. It was not meant to be a downriver playboat. I don't even consider it like that much of a half slice. Maybe you do, but.
Yeah. I agree. I think the puffy stees is like, it's more in the area of a creek boat with the ability to just like some little like tail adjustments. And then once you get used to it, like I'm like 76 to 78 kilos. I have no idea what that is in pounds. Sorry.
We'll say 180.
And I can get it vertical, but I have to try. Like I have to be on an eddy line.
Yeah.
But it's just that it's always that balance because if it's too little, then I'm not going to take it to Norway and go run.
Do you paddle the goat much?
I've paddled the goat a lot at home. Just the goat, not the billy goat. For me, I still prefer the stees. For everything, I pedal with stees. I'm just a little bit bigger than like the like weight that the goat would be designed for. So yeah, mostly in the stees, but I pedal the goat a little bit. It's just a little bit narrow, and sometimes when I'm trying like tomahawks and stuff like that, little tricks, it's.
Do you ever go back and paddle the OG?
I paddle the OG all the time.
Do you really, over? Is that your? Is that kind of your the OG and the Stees?
OG and Stees. So I just switch between those. I hadn't paddled the OG at all in Norway. I went through a phase of just paddling the puffy Stees, but this summer I've got back in the OG. It definitely still has its place.
It's good. That is a really good pack.
Yeah, it's really good. It's starting to get slept on a little bit, I think. It's still an amazing kayak. Like it's 5 years on and
it's one of these kayaks that, you know, you make such a good kayak that it stays relevant for so long. I paddled the OG and I remember my first time paddling. I was like, wow, this is such a good boat, but it needs a lot of water around it. It needs a lot of volume. It does not like creaky, very manky style, low volume stuff. It loves that big water in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely very good at the big volume stuff. Like, trying to think of an example, like Futa, or we have this river called Hooker Falls.
But recently,
I've been taking it like on the low volume kind of flood runs lately.
It's perfect. That thing is so good at that stuff.
Yeah. And then I've watched Ryan McAvoy shredding his OG and all these little micro creeks.
So you can't even believe a kayak will go down.
Yeah.
That's right. You guys, Ryan McAvoy, sponsored by you guys now.
Yeah, that man's crazy.
Me and Ryan's paddled together a few times. He'll take a kayak down. If it's got some water going down it and you're like, no way, he'll end up running it. And then I'm like, I can't believe you ran that. Like, wow.
Yeah, I look at the videos sometimes of him and what he's doing in our boats. I'm like, what the?
Well, that's, and I guess you used the gangster when you raced. Yeah. Did you do the Utz race?
Yeah, I did the Utz race. Yeah.
You did well in it. What did you get in that one? Didn't you do well this year? Walker did well altogether, right?
Yeah, Walker did really well this year. I think we were first, second.
Yeah, you cleaned
first
house.
First and second? No, first, second, and then I was fourth.
Wow.
It was a good race. It's a really cool race if people want to go there. It's trophy. It's like one of my favorite races of the year.
It looks amazing, and I take it that walk, the gangster is one of the best boats for that run. Like, it seemed to do really well. Do you paddle it outside just racing? Is that the only time you use the gangster?
I don't paddle too much outside of racing. The thing of racing boats like that and why the gangster is still in production is purely for racing.
Yeah.
Like, the faster you want your boat, the less rocky you want to have.
For sure.
So it's harder to paddle. And so it's definitely one of those boats that when you're on Ertz Trophy course on the Vallabrooker and you're paddling perfect, it feels sick. But it's a skill to get it to paddle right. And Dad and me often are debating, like, at what flow would it be better to switch to a slower boat, like the OG, but in the end it will be faster because you're going to be getting all the right lines. So there's always those balance of the race boats.
Well, that's interesting.
But the gangster is by far, in my opinion, like, I wouldn't want to race anything else. It's so, when you're online and the gangster, it's just flying.
Yeah.
Especially on that course, it's sick.
So you, what current boats, is it still in the lineup now? You guys are still molding it?
Yeah, so we're still making the gangsters for people that want to do racing and stuff.
So really the only thing, anyway, you know, your dad definitely had some with Prion. He had some of the best full slice kayaks ever. Any chance of going back to a full slice kayak like that?
That's funny, man. I was like, well, I came to America and there's like, I forget the name of all my dad's boats. There's a boat that.
It's a Prion Delirious?
Yes, the Delirious.
Oh, yeah.
Dad hates that thing these days, you know? Like, I was looking at the group Walker group chat the other day and people were talking about Deliriouses. I think it was Robbie, actually, and he was like saying his feet have barely recovered from paddling it 20, 30 years ago or something.
The feet have just turned into that.
Yeah. People are still paddling pretty old boats down there. That's kind of the idea of this this new river running play boat is something along those lines, a playful, full slice river running boat, just more modern.
When are you looking to have that out?
Well, at the moment it's just in composite, so there's a couple of composite boats around the place and not really sure on the time frame. Still just working on like little adjustments, little tweaks, and once we think it's like good enough, then we'll get it out.
Well, that's good to know. You know, I definitely love, as you've seen probably definitely here in the USA, you know, everybody loves their downriver freestyle. I don't know how popular it is in New Zealand, and I know amongst your travel, your downriver freestyle video, which was interesting. You had one of the sickest switch freewheels off of Tomato One I've ever seen. Dude, that was so, was that in a Steez?
Nah, actually, that was in a Tuna 2.
Oh, wow.
I brought that boat because I went there with the plans of paddling Big Banana, and looking at that waterfall on video, I was like, this is borderline just a seal launch with no water. So I was thinking about the best boat for just plugging, and I was like, a Tuna 2 is going to be ideal for that. And in the end, I actually regretted bringing the Tuna 2.
Why is that?
I've got this new philosophy on like 45ing drops and stuff and what the softer boat would be. Initially, I always thought, you know, a smaller boat like the Tuna 2 or more round hull boat's going to be softer. And I'm so used to planing hull flat bottom kayaks like the OG or the Steez that just skip out from everything.
Yeah.
And I found like if the Silencio or something's the perfect example, you know, Silencio, that 30, 40 footer.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when you're coming down a waterfall and you boof and you land on a 45 degree angle, the best possible outcome is when you just, that speed carries on from the drop and that falling speed converts into speed like skipping out. So there's no abrupt deacceleration onto the spine.
Okay.
So I just think like boats like the OG and stuff just skip out much better. So and rather than just stalling out at the bottom, it carries that speed out, which I haven't tried in Mexico, but I'd be pretty stoked bringing like an OG or something back to
Mexico. Wow. So you're not that concerned with a big flat planing surface hull that doesn't concern you as much as you think it did.
No, I'd almost go the other way, you know, like especially when you're 45ing big drops, if you have a planing hull and it's able to like keep its speed and skip out rather than just stalling at the bottom, though, like in my experience, those are when the hits are like the softest. And then for the bigger drops, you know, Tomato one, that sort of size, play, once your nose is down, it's just about the resurfacing of the boat. And I haven't really had any big hits with that either. So I'm not worried about like a boat with a bit more rocker and the sacrifice of...
Is it because it's shorter?
No. Other way around. Yeah. I'm not sure in feet, but the Tuna 2 is definitely shorter than the OG.
It's just the Tuna 2 slightly displacement.
The Tuna 2 is just like an earlier model of the OG. So it's just the OG just skips slightly better and the OG's got a bit more rocker. And that rocker, I think it concerns a lot of people, you know, when you start getting to those big drops of like, you just, there's no forgiveness. It's just going to land flat. But I think it also seemed to help me in the past just with carrying that speed out, you know, you can really skip out rather than my good mate, Kalen. He had like, well, not just him. I've seen a lot of broken backs in recent years with,
he got hurt at Silencio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he had like a really good line. And it's not because of the boat, like it can happen in any boat, but just trying to avoid that stalling out on the bottom. If you can carry that skip out from like a 30, 40 footer, seems to be the softest hits.
What about when you get higher up and you have to plug? Does that rocker hurt you now?
Well, like that's another like concern that I was thinking about. As I was saying, like it hasn't really worried me. That extra rocker, it's not a problem. But when I was going to the size of like thinking of paddling Big Banana, I didn't want to take any risks. You know, I think the difference between like 60 feet and 128 or however high with no water, like I was a little bit unsure. And that's why I brought the Tuna 2 in the end.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mission to get made because that mold's kind of out of production now.
Yeah. Did you run Big Banana Falls when you were there?
No, and then in the end, Big Banana was much lower than we're anticipating. So
I know Brian has run it, and I think Brian and Adrian both run it, I think.
Yeah, Brian and Adrian have both run it. So yeah, the trip was kind of Dane's trip. Dane invited me with a couple others. His plan was to run Big Banana. And
you guys did that right after the green race, I think, right? You did the green race, and you guys just flew down to Mexico from what I heard.
Yeah, I just yeeted down there. It was pretty fun.
Like a week later.
It was a wild trip. Like I'd been planning that downriver freestyle stuff from the previous year, really. Working at home, lots of little movements, little flat water drills and stuff. And like the amount of visualization and stuff I was doing for Tomato, I got there. Did one warm up day and I was like, oh, I have to do this now. Like on just day two, just too scared. I had to get out of my way.
Which brings me to another question. When does someone, you know, you've run definitely some really stout rapids. When do you look at something and decide when to walk it or when to run it? Like what in like Zach's head, when you look at something and you say, oh, I don't want to mess with this. Even if someone runs it, you might still walk away. Give us all like something that you think about when you scout like a really stout rapid.
Yeah. Well, someone told me something pretty recently that I really liked the idea of it when you take it to bigger drops. So the idea pretty much is, you know, when the rapids get that big, you don't want to risk it. You don't want to just throw caution to the wind and see what happens. You want to be 100% stoked on that rapid. So in that sense, you know, if it's a 100-foot waterfall, the lip is slightly too low, And you're like, oh man, I just want a little bit more water to clean up this little curler, and then it would be perfect. If you start thinking like that, or if I start thinking like that, that's when I'm like, okay, this is a fight. It's not worth it. Because then if you do go run it, you could be completely fine. But if you're not, it's going to be much harder to accept the consequence of it, because you're like, man, like the lip wasn't right. I wasn't stoked with this. So I think it's just like being able to step back a little bit and look at it without the, for in my case, I would call it like just like I'm really highly motivated to run it, and just step back for a second and look at it from a different perspective and see, is this really like clean? Is it good to go? Is it not? But I think that people have to do that on all levels of kayaking.
Yeah, for sure. Is that, are you speaking with that from some past experience where you've like questioned like, oh, if this lip was a little cleaner, but you went ahead and ran it anyway, then in hindsight was like, I shouldn't have done that.
Well, actually it was, so what my big banana was the first big thing I can remember walking away from in a while. And then, so I've got back to New Zealand and there's been these 100 footer, like two or three 100-foot waterfalls that are coming in with the rain, and they're not quite right. They're not quite right.
That's Dane. So he just sent Dane to voicemail to stay on.
It's like, shut up, Zach. This is my secret. No, so I just it's been a good process with these waterfalls. Trying to catch these 300-foot waterfalls, just waiting for the right time to run them.
I've walked
away from all three of them just because the flows haven't been quite right. All first descents except one.
Okay.
But you know, it's just you in my head when I do a first descent, I want to style it as well. And there's one in particular where you're like, you could run it, but it's not much water going off it. It's going to be really hard to control, and it's pretty high. You don't want to mess with that height. I think my idea of paddling and the way I want to paddle is I want to do everything with complete control. I don't want to do any like the huck and pray kind of style. I want to be completely in control 100% of the time.
I call it huck and hope.
Yeah, huck and hope. Yeah. So I try and avoid that as much as possible.
And just, hey, it worked out. Wow. I'm like, it looked like garbage. It's like, yeah, I know what you mean. You want to run something, and you want to make it like, you want to feel that you ran it. You didn't just survive it. Correct.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like the same thing in Downriver Freestyle. Like I had a lot of chats with Kaylin and Dane about this, like the way that you approach throwing a big back freewheel or something. It's just like little steps building up to it. And of course there's that height where you have to there's a bit of a unknown where you're launching yourself into, and you've got to link up all these little steps. But if you've done all the little pieces of that back freewheel, it's much easier to link together with control rather than opposed to just like coming up to a lip backwards and throwing and seeing what happens.
Yeah.
So you really want to get that nose down, and then it looks much cooler too.
Yeah. You can usually see when someone nails it. And I've seen some messed up ones too. Did you miss any while you were down there that we didn't see on video?
No, I only did the one.
Okay. I was wondering. Yeah. It looked good.
I went to Great Falls a couple of days beforehand.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Not many drops to practice on.
No.
And kind of learned there. So I actually turned up to the, you know, the dam.
Yes.
At the very top of Great Falls.
There's
much water going off it.
Let me guess, you tomahawked it?
No. I just, Kaylin cracked up because we went there for the first time, and I just stayed there for like an hour and a half trying like back freewheels from standstill. And getting to that second stroke, because you can see on that video of Tomato 1, it's all about the throwing and catching on that second stroke. And then you can control your angle again.
And you were doing that to keep from over-rotating, right?
Or you can just from that second stroke, you can control if you want to stop the movement, or like pull it like backstroke it back down a bit more. It's just almost becomes like running a waterfall again. There's a few adjustments I want to make to it. I want to try another big one. I want to try straight in the back freewheel up afterwards. So I stayed on the edge, which I was planning to do. But I'd like to like bring it back to straight because I think this hit would be a lot softer like that.
Instead of going in at that angle, you're thinking of trying to line it back up like that. Yeah. Do you toss your paddle in this or do you want to hold on to it during that?
Nah, I toss my paddle.
Okay. So after you catch that second one, then you toss it.
Yeah. And on big drops, I'm just like, I don't want to risk it with my shoulders.
That's smart. So, yeah. That's smart. Don't get messed up on that. All right, man. Well, yeah. Zach, is there anything else? Anything else you want to go over? Anything? Any Waka news or anything you want to bring up besides, you know, new freestyle downriver freestyle boats and paddles?
Nah, man. It's new boat, new freestyle boat, like composites, prototypes, it's just all that stuff. Paddles. Paddles are sick. Can't wait till those are out.
And those are going to be in the U.S. You're going to have. You're going to put those.
They'll be in the U.S.
Yeah. How many dealers? Sure. Kaleva, and EG.
Kaleva for the East Coast and EG for the West Coast.
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And I take it they'll have the paddles also. And you know, tell Kenny I said hi. Tell him to make another Delirious Part 2. Everybody hear it right here. Delirious Part 2 coming.
With more feet room, eh?
Yeah, more feet room. All right, Zach, man, I appreciate it. I'll let you get off here, and I'll look forward to seeing the next Waka projects coming out.
Cheers, man. Yeah, take it easy.
Thank you very much. All right, see you.
Later.